Speak your mind with your online group. Build a better group. Use the newest voice conferencing service available. TalkShoe. Talk with everyone. TalkShoe. That's TalkShoe.com.
Recorded live.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to episode 2 of WordPress Weekly. I'm your host, Jeffro, also the webmaster behind the blog Jeffro2.0.com. As a disclaimer, WordPress Weekly is not affiliated with WordPress or Automattic in any way. I just happen to be a fanboy. To call in and participate on the show, you can use Skype out or a telephone and dial 724-444-7444. And when prompted, the TalkCast ID is 34224. So with all that out of the way, we actually made it through episode 1, and I've gotten a lot of feedback from quite a few people who said they enjoyed the show. They enjoyed that we covered a variety of topics, and they thought it was entertaining. And it wasn't so much of a shipwreck as I thought it would be. And it was pretty nice to get a bunch of positive comments out of the show. So today we got a lot to talk about today. So let me get started by introducing today's panel of guests. And first up is Brad Williams of StrangeWork.com. How you doing, Brad?
Hey, Jeffro, how's it going?
It's going all right. Anything new with you?
Same old, same old.
Same old, same old. Yeah, it's either 9 o'clock right now or it's beer 30. Take your pick.
Both.
All right. Next up is Ronald Eureka from the Readers Appreciation Project.com. How you doing, Ronald?
I'm pretty good.
Anything new with you this week?
Oh, well, I found out there's going to be a Nashville WordPress meetup pretty soon, like in a week or two. I'm excited about that.
There's going to be a WordPress meetup in Nashville, you're saying?
Yeah, Nashville, Tennessee. The closest to me has ever been one, so excited.
Awesome. And new on the show today is Andrew Rickman, and I believe he's the guy who created the uninstalling plugin or tool. Is that correct, Andrew?
Plugin goes well, yeah.
It's a plugin to remove other plugins' garbage.
Well, it's a plugin to let developers create their own uninstall. Really, it's a proof of concept for something I'd like to go in the core, to be honest.
Okay, the chat room and some of the members are reporting a little bit of feedback on your microphone, Andrew, so I don't know how to fix that. But let's go on with the first topic this week, and the first topic is... Actually, let's get this out of the way. Today, someone involved with WordPress development has turned 24. Can anybody in the chat room guess who that is? Anybody?
Matt?
There you go. Yeah, Brad's actually the one who pointed this out to me. I didn't actually know about this today, so you want to let us in on the 411, Brad?
Yeah, I actually got it off the Twitter news line. Just saw somebody post it. Basically, they gave about a 24-hour notice that they're having a little get-together for Matt today as he turns 24. So anybody in that area, you can go hang out and buy him a beer.
Yeah, if I checked out that link you sent me on the blog in the comment section, and it looks like his birthday party or the meetup is at a place called the Bigfoot Lodge. I've never heard of it, but I just think it's cool because the word Bigfoot's in it. And also, I checked out the event page for his birthday, the party, and there's a picture of 24 from the TV show 24. I thought that was pretty cool. So, Matt, if you're listening, happy birthday, brother. And with that out of the way, General Motors has decided to... what some have claimed to, they've gone open source by using WordPress for one of their community type of sites. Some people have reported that this is seen as an embracing of open source, but I don't know, they're just using WordPress for one of their sites. I don't know if that's, you can consider that embracing open source, but the website's called GM Next. And I gave it a look through, and I wasn't really pleased with the design, and I think they could have did a little better in terms of presenting the content, making it look a little pretty. And I was actually checking out the source code for the website, and I found out that they're already a version behind. Go figure that. So, Brad, did you get a chance to check that out?
Yeah, I'm actually looking at it right now, and just had the music blaring in my ears that they have playing in the background. Just like any other major corporation site, it's got a huge splash banner at the top that I'm not a huge fan of, but let me close this so I can hear it. It's a nice looking site. I mean, it is pretty neat that they're using it. But yeah, I don't know if I would say it's embracing WordPress. It's probably more of they want to launch a site on the cheap and be quick.
What about you, Ronald? Have you been able to check out the blog?
Yeah, I checked it out, and I think the first thing that I ended up doing was closing it because the music was just unbearable. But then I went over the blog, and it's just a bunch of corporate mumbo-jumbo. It's not really anything special. It's really the platform behind it. So that's my first impression of it.
Andrew, have you been able to get a chance to check out GM's embracing of open source?
Well, I'm just looking at it now. It's, to be honest, it's not even loading for me, so, you know, that's a bit of a downside, I guess.
Yeah, for those who don't know which site it is, those that are listening to the live stream, it's www.gmnext, that's all one word, gmnext.com. And that's their little community site where they're going to be posting, you know, press stories. They have a blog on there. They have different stories. It's kind of like their connection between them and their customers. I think they could have done a little better, but overall, I'm just glad that another high-profile company picked up on WordPress. So with that out of the way, did anybody get a chance to see that article that Smashing Magazine brought out, published this week? 100 excellent free WordPress themes.
Yeah, I did check that out. That's a great list of themes. Anybody looking to upgrade their blog, make it look a little bit nicer? I mean, that pretty much has every popular theme that I've probably seen out there. Obviously, uncustomized, but they're great themes, and it really wouldn't even take that much customization, anyways.
Yeah, I've gone through all 100 of the themes, and it's not like they're all brand new themes. Some of them are half a year old, close to a year old, but every one of them that they picked have some type of professional look to them. And, you know, I thought it was pretty nice to have all 100 professional looking themes all on one page. So if anybody out there is looking for a new blog design, this would be an excellent place to start for your WordPress blog. And I got a link to that article on the show notes at jeffro2.0.com. Did you happen to check out any of those themes, Ronald?
I did, and it wasn't one that absolutely stood out to me. I really liked the one you mentioned earlier this week. Was that the WP Premium?
Yeah, that's the one I did a review on?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, actually, they have WordPress Premium. That's, let me see what this is. Oh, it's the first theme under the category magazine-style WordPress themes. That's actually the first theme they highlighted there. And I don't know, there's something about WordPress Premium that just, I don't know, I fall in love with it every time I see it. Did you get a chance to see any of those themes, Andrew?
Yeah, to be honest, I think what's nice about it is to see all of the different trends on one page. Not just, a lot of different themes, but the different, some of them being minimalist, some of them being kind of more graphically heavy. It's nice to have one place to go and see all of that.
Actually, I didn't think of it that way, but when you scroll down the page and you check out the different categories, you sort of do get a sense for what's popular out there right now. I mean, what is the styles and trends that are going on with the WordPress theming.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, I'm you know, looking at themes to kind of start developing my first one, and what stands out is that, you know, although what may be big right now is all of the magazine themes, you know, when you look at them all in one place, you can see that actually that there is far more variety than just what is, you know, turning up on the blogs right now.
Right. I mean, just browsing through here right now, I can see that tabs is still kind of popular, tab browsing or tab navigation images. A lot of these have the two sidebars connected together on the right side of the page. Some of these have four columns, just all kinds of stuff. Even if you are not looking for a brand new theme, maybe you need a little bit of inspiration because you're doing your own, Mike. But it'd be a good place to look if you're looking for a little bit of inspiration. But I got a link to that article on jeffro2.0.com if anybody is interested in checking out all of those different themes. And let's see here. Westy, guy who's in charge, he puts out a weekly digest for everything that goes on within the track. Anytime a bug is fixed or anytime something's been changed in the track, it's been added to the core code, or there's been a some sort of update to the core, usually he posts that all in a weekly digest post. Called WordPress Weekly Digest, and I thought I'd highlight this one between December 31st, 2007 and January 6th, 2008 because it contained quite a few updates that I'm actually kind of excited about. For instance, there's the integration of functions that the Optimal Title plugin was known for. And the Optimal Title plugin, I actually use that, and it's just a way to different way to place the title of my blog into a different area. So it's kind of cool. They've kind of implemented that plugin code into the core. They've also introduced auto suggest for tags, which I used to love using when I had Ultimate Tag Warrior. They've also added in a new sidebar interface to choose which widgets you want on which sidebar. And last but not least, changes to the dual / visual code editors to remember which one you use last. Which should make writing posts much more convenient. That way you're not constantly switching. Like, for instance, if you're, I think the default view is visual. So if you're constantly using the code view, you know, it might get annoying every time you go to write a post and you got to click visual. Now, it shouldn't do that anymore. And all of these updates, I'm pretty sure, are going into WordPress 2.5. So did you get a chance? What do you think about those updates, Brad?
It's pretty interesting list. So, as I understand it, these have not been released yet, correct?
No, these are just updates that have gone into the core for WordPress 2.5.
This is what we would have seen had 2.4 came out.
There is a possibility there that these are some of the features that probably would have came with 2.4.
Yeah, that's interesting. I do like this because anytime I upgrade WordPress or a blog or software for that matter, I always like to see the upgrade log of things that have changed just to know. Sometimes it's not as obvious, but it's something you might use if you know it's there. So it's nice to read through the list, see what's new, what's changed, get people's thoughts on it.
Yeah, you know, I was looking over this and I was kind of puzzled about a new sidebar interface because I really don't see what the big problem is with the current interface. I mean, you have two different columns. You know, the left one's the left sidebar and the right one's the right sidebar, and you just drag a widget into wherever you want it to display. I don't know how much easier it could get, but apparently they're going to put in a new interface in there. Ronald, what do you think of the changes?
A few things I wrote down were the transition from the admin autosaver to the jQuery. And it's good to see that they're still going for the jQuery framework for JavaScript. But I personally am a big fan of jQuery. And I also like the code editor, how it saves your settings for next time. I really like that new feature that's going to be added.
Andrew, did you get a chance to check out those updates that have been added to the core?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've saw the list. I mean, the new interface for sidebars is something that interests me from the perspective that, you know, one of my plugins kind of creates sidebars programmatically. So, you know, I've got some. I need to get a look and see that and see if I'm going to need to change anything. But I mean, beyond that, I mean, I'm too lazy to use tags, and I'm pretty much writing HTML anyway. So none of the others are really that much of a concern to me.
Yeah, I tell you, I'm really looking forward to the tag auto suggest. I'm getting a little bit tired of typing in tags manually all the time, and the best thing about Ultimate Tag Warrior was I would every new tag I'd put in there, it'd create a list, and all I had to do was click on it, and it'd put it right into my tag field. And ever since 2.3, when they went to native tagging, I have yet to install a plugin to do any kind of third-party stuff to the tags. So I'll be glad to get that auto-suggest feature.
Yeah, I actually remember that feature in Tag Warrior, but I quit using it because it didn't seem like it suggested relevant enough tags, but I don't mind typing mine in.
So, pretty much sums that up. You can look forward to those. You probably won't be able to see those changes till March when 2.5 is released to the public. But as Brad said, I'm willing to bet that these changes would have been in 2.4 had it come out in January. These are just some of the features we probably would have had. And next up, it's kind of nice. We're 16 minutes into the show, and that leaves us plenty of time to talk about a topic that I brought up on weblogstoolcollection.com. And it's really been a hot-button issue. And I don't think a lot of WordPress users understand the issue, but I wrote an article on weblogstoolscollection.com earlier in the week about uninstall and if there was such a thing. And the reasons that brought up this post, I was doing the installing WordPress locally article, and after I did that and imported the database into my local install, I noticed that there were some tables or plugins that popped up that I thought I had previously uninstalled, and I didn't know why they were showing up. So I did a little bit of investigating, and then it kind of hit me on the head. I had one of those eureka moments where uninstalling a plugin is not a case of... Well, it is the case. Most plugins, when you install them, require you to upload files, and then you have to go into the plugin area of the administration panel and then activate them. But during that process, some plugins actually create database tables or entries where either the options are going to be stored or some of the data from that plugin is going to be stored. And I found out that for some plugins, when you uninstall them, delete the files, the hard-coded files related to that plugin, sometimes the database stuff stays in your database. And, you know, over time, you know, that's just garbage data in there. And over time, your database can increase in size. I imagine somewhere down the road, it might cause a problem or two. For instance, with me, I was using the Says Who comment comment reputation plugin, and that plugin inserts, I think, four different tables or four SQL calls. And for whatever reason, when I was trying to import my public WordPress database into my local install, it wouldn't import. It kept saying that I had SQL errors, and I had to manually remove the says who table calls in the SQL file. So what I did is I wrote up an article about what was going on, and I made a call out to plugin authors and developers asking, why hasn't all plugin authors add the ability for users to completely uninstall the plugin? That means get rid of database data and everything else. And I basically asked them open questions about what are we going to do about this? What is it going to take to fix this problem? And I know it touched home with a lot of people. And Ronald, being a plugin developer, I think he's got a lot to say on this issue. So if you want to, you can go ahead, Ronald.
Well, I was, I guess from a plugin author standpoint, a plugin author should be responsible for deleting their overhead if their users so request. And as you pointed out in your article, there are not a whole lot of plugins that have an uninstall option. There's a deactivate in the plugin page, but not an actual uninstall option. Furthermore, if a plugin author were to put an uninstall option in the plugin, there's no standard template or interface for each plugin. So each plugin would be different when they have an uninstall option. Now, one of the things that Andrew Rickman did that I pointed out on a separate WLTC post was create an uninstall tool that other plugin authors could tap into, which would create a common interface, and the user wouldn't have to relearn something every time they put a new plugin or activate a new plugin.
So you're basically summing up Andrew's uninstall tool, right?
Yeah, but I think Andrew could probably better explain it himself.
Andrew, if you want to, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think one of the things that, you know, the plugin interface does very well, is give some consistency to everything. And, you know, looking at the various different options that were coming up in your post, you know, we had options of, you know, should it be a hook or should it not? Can you use a separate file to uninstall things? Should you just include a script and link to it? Should you include an uninstall and deactivate, you know, in an options panel? And, you know, I guess my first perspective was, well, you know, until you can actually see one of these things working and think, actually, how am I going to interact with that? It's all fairly theoretical. And, you know, what I think came out of the first version that I wrote was that, you know, using a separate file is probably not the right way to go. And I think there's pretty much agreement that, you know, it should be something that's in the core, for sure. But it should be something that, you know, allows the plugin developer to just use a hook in the same way as the activation. And so that's really the reason for going to the second iteration, was to, you know, provide a way of ring fencing the uninstallation code so that it only gives that option when it's been deactivated.
Andrew, from the discussion of the comments on the WTC post and on your site, some of the people mentioned that why should a plugin also jump on board on this tool because it's not in the core. And I'm saying, well, I mean, there has to be a proof of concept, and I think we've demonstrated that. Now it's time for plugin authors and WordPress to get behind something like this. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, my first thought was, you know, let's just create a proof of concept, and then we can all just have a look and see, you know, actually, is this a good way to do it or not? You know, and I've submitted that to the WordPress track for comment as well. Ultimately, I think it's, you know, it comes down to, if it doesn't do it in the way that people think is a good way, then they won't use it, and, you know, we're going to come up with an alternative. If it is useful, then I think people probably need to say so, and we need to, you know, all kind of look at the code and say, well, you know, maybe that's a good way of doing it, or maybe it isn't. But, I mean, ultimately, my intention was just to say, you know, let's put something out there, let's see it working, let's see it in situ, and say, well, you know, is this a good idea or not?
Yeah, I was able to, after a week of having this post online, it's gotten over 60 comments, and today I was finally able to sit down, read through the comments, and kind of consolidate everything into another post. And I'd just like to read some of that to you. Nick was one of the first people to lay a comment on that article, and he says, "For both of my plugins, I provided uninstall capability. Whenever the user deactivates the plugin, it is effectively uninstalled, removing all data related to the plugin. The user could then do whatever they wanted with the file containing the plugin. It was easy to do it this way because WordPress provides a hook for action upon deactivation of a plugin." And my response to that is that the problem that I and many others have is that deactivating a plugin should not have the same effect as uninstalling it. That's wrong. Who wants to reconfigure their plugin after deactivating it when all they were trying to do is maybe upgrade WordPress? So Michael Martin stepped in, and he actually made quite a few valid points. You would then have to have an uninstall function completely separate from the normal deactivate function, which I agree with. When upgrading WordPress or troubleshooting a problem, you constantly active/deactivate plugins. When you reactivate them, you expect all of your settings to have been retained. That's why uninstall would need to be a separate function. And then, what happens when certain plugin authors don't bother with an uninstall? They aren't under any forced rules to offer it, unless the WordPress.org directory adds them, like you said. Does that make the plugin worse, really? And what if the plugin doesn't add database entries anyways? It wouldn't need an uninstall option, but regular users would get confused as some plugins would have the uninstall options and some others wouldn't. So I actually commented to Michael's points that he raised, and you know, first off, I completely support the uninstall function of a plugin becoming separate of the deactivate function. I think that's logically right. His next point is one that seriously needs some undertaking, because he's right. There are no rules or concrete guidelines for how a plugin should be uninstalled, which means there are no guidelines for which to enforce upon these plugins. You know, that I consider that a problem in and of itself. You got anything to say so far on that, Ronald?
Well, as far as deactivating versus uninstalling, there are two separate things. As you said, when you install a new version of WordPress, the guidance for WordPress is you deactivate all your plugins, and then you activate them again after you've upgraded. That way you can troubleshoot one by one if a plugin breaks your blog. But I don't think there should be some kind of action if a plugin author doesn't include an uninstall script, because WordPress Extend, I'm just happy that people are using it, and to add an extra requirement, because the requirements are actually fairly stiff if you're just coming into WordPress. Just having an uninstall thing is kind of like a bonus right now, and since there's nothing on WordPress that supports it as far as a hook, I think the requirement, I don't think it should be a requirement.
My big beef on this is that there's no guidelines, there's no standard. And you could use any number of ways, whatever way the plugin author decided to use to allow an uninstall on that plugin, that's the way I have to use. So one guy might have a button to uninstall, one guy might code it in so that when it's deactivated, it's uninstalled. One guy might not even have any option to uninstall. And what I'd like to see ultimately is the WordPress.org plugin database and the WordPress guys in the codex come up with some guidelines and standards. Say, hey, look, if you're going to change the core code or if you're going to add database entries, this is the way we would like you to put in some uninstall options in there. That's what I'd ultimately like to see, because then there'd be a standard. That's the way, this is what the codex says. This is a guideline. This is what it, you know, this would be the most appropriate way of doing things. And then we wouldn't have to worry about it anymore. And then ultimately the changes, see, what I would like to see is WordPress.org, the plugin database, have a set of guidelines, and if your plugin, as a plugin author, if your plugin does not meet those guidelines, it should not be hosted on the plugin database. Ultimately, that's what I'd like to see. That way, I mean, that's the only way the WordPress.org people would be able to have any sort of control over how these plugins are coded.
Well, if anything, at least WordPress Extend should have some kind of, I don't know, you know how it says it's compatible with WordPress 2.3. It should say, does it include an uninstall file? Yes or no. It should be made part of the README. And I think Andrew's taking a good first step. He submitted it to a WordPress track, and he's trying to get it installed his tool installed on the core WordPress code.
What do you think?
Another
Brad,
solution.
Okay, go ahead, Brad.
Another solution might be come up with a set of standards for plugin uninstallation, but don't require it. And if a plugin doesn't have an uninstall feature, then possibly pop up and say, hey, these are all, you know, when you want to install a plugin, these are all the plugin tables we found in your database. Would you like to remove any of them? Obviously, with a huge disclaimer that says, you know, don't delete any if you don't know what you're doing. But if you do know what you're doing, you know, go ahead and check the ones you want to delete and wipe them out.
Because that's an option. Basically, you know, what I'm saying is, I actually talked to Photomat today. I was in the IRC talking to the devs in the WordPress dev IRC chat room, and I brought up this issue. And I suggested that WordPress come up with a quality assurance team, or what can be called a plugin validation team. You know, similar to the way PHPBB has gone with version 3. And he basically said, okay, well, that's interesting. What do they do? I said, well, PHPBB 3 is a complete rewrite of their forum software. They have a mod validation team. Mods are submitted to the database, but the validation team has to go through the code and ensure that the mod was developed following the coding guidelines they have set forth. This ensures maximum compatibility, and it also keeps crappy coded mods from entering the official mod database. Thus, you know, any of the mods that are in that database are most likely going to be the ones used on end users' installs. So, you know, all I'm proposing is that the WordPress team should get together along with the community and develop a series of coding guidelines. These are the guidelines that third-party plugins would have to abide by in order to be housed within the official WordPress plugin database. You know, granted, you're not going to solve the problem completely, as people will still be able to code plugins for WordPress and release them via their own website. But then end users of WordPress should think twice about those particular plugins and realize the only, I say safe route, but it's not a matter of safe, but the only really official route would be through the WordPress.org plugin database. So, I told Matt what was going on there. He said it was an interesting concept, and he said possibly somewhere down the line they could integrate some of those ideas into the plugin database.
Which you then followed up with, leave me alone, it's my birthday.
Yeah, actually. But, what do you think, Andrew? Do you think there should be some coding guidelines set up? I mean, this uninstalling issue, I mean, it's really a big issue. Matt didn't seem like, it didn't seem like to some of the devs in the chat room that it was a big issue, but I think it is a big issue.
I think it is, yeah. I mean, it's all well and good kind of creating, you know, kind of a plugin to add uninstall functionality. But I think, you know, I mean, if there were a set of standards, then you know, perhaps we'd have already agreed that actually you should put an uninstall button in an options page, and you should, you know, call it this and put it here, and that kind of consistency would mean that, well, you know, maybe we wouldn't even need a plugin at all.
Yeah, and actually, let's see, where did. Oh, let's see, I'm looking through my notes here. You know, the big problem is how to solve the problem of, where is it here? It's in my notes. Something about the uninstall button. Oh, you know, the issue of, you know, Some plugins don't change core code. Some plugins don't do anything with the database. They just function via the codes or a hook, and you just add that hook to your theme. How would you put an uninstall button next to those plugins, or would you not, or would it just be grayed out? I mean, I don't want end users to be confused with all this uninstalling mess.
I guess with that kind of aspect, then you know, users should be able to expect that an option will appear if it's necessary. And I think if that's the initial expectation, and if that's what the standard says, then, you know, there can be some level of confidence that if there isn't an option, then it isn't a problem.
And, you know, just for anyone out there wondering, a guy by the name of Toxic, he happened to mention a plugin called Clean Options, and I guess it's another one of those plugins that browses through the database tables and I guess presents you a list of orphaned options from various plugins that might not be installed anymore, and it helps you delete them. And, you know, I just thought that was kind of oxymoronic. We're developing plugins to remove other plugins' garbage that's been left in the database. I think there's something weird about that.
Definitely wrong.
Yeah, it's a good topic, and not one I'd really thought about until I read that article. I actually have the Tag Warrior, you know, table still out there with all my data in them. I'm not using them anymore, but they are still there. And I guess I really didn't think about it, and I think most people probably don't think about it. Once it's out of your plugins page, then, you know, out of sight, out of mind.
Well, one of the comments kind of brought it home a little bit, where he said he had a test log where he just test plugins, and then you have to clean it out every so often just because of all the rubbish that gets put in there.
Well, I mean, like I said, I've only used WordPress since May of 2007, and all this time I thought when I deleted the files out of my plugins folder that, hey, you know, they're uninstalled, I deactivate them, they're gone, they're deleted, and little did I know that some of them left a little presence for me in my database. You know, and some of these plugins are pretty bad, man. Like, I use a plugin called Live 0.4, and I think it was more just like a coding concept, but I really like it. But it's a database table behemoth. You click on Live, and what it does is it lets you see who's browsing your site in real time. So it could be a visitor, it could be an RSS feed hit, or it could be somebody viewing a comment. And it all shows up live, and it's all, you know, doing all this Ajaxy stuff. But I found out that what it's doing is logging. And every time someone hits my site while I'm viewing that plugin, it logs that stuff into a database table. And I checked it out the other day, and, oh, man, I got over 30,000 entries in that table because I'm always checking that plugin. So I brought that up in the developer chat room, and they said, logging is bad.
Well, maybe bad, but I think that if you're a plugin author and you're adding a table or something to the core database, you need to be accountable for what you've added in and offer the user a way to take it back out.
Yeah, I wonder if one of the problems here really is that, you know, that there isn't anything tracking what does go in and out. You know, I mean, we can add options to the database, we can add new tables, but, you know, is there any way we can say, you know, I've actually added a table and WordPress, you should know about this? There isn't, but, I mean, it's another option.
And WordPress makes it too easy to modify the core table with little accountability, little to no accountability as of right now.
Well, yeah, that's, I worked on my uninstalling conundrum part 2 article. It hasn't been published yet, but I pretty much consolidated all the responses from everybody, and I was really pleased that I got 60 comments on that article, and it looked like everybody put on their thinking caps, and everybody was coming up with different ideas and different ways of implementing things, and some people were coming up with plugins that would remove the orphan tables, and I just thought it was really interesting that we were coming together. And there's actually a number of plugin authors that left a comment or a trackback URL, and they actually went into their plugins and created an uninstall feature. And Ronald, I know you're the author of the WP Edit Comments. Is that what it's called?
Ajax Edit Comments.
Yeah, and you have an uninstall feature in there, don't you?
Yeah, a couple of users actually requested that because I ought to have some kind of secure way of making sure not just anybody can go on and edit the comments. And I was adding it to the page metadata, and some of the users were emailing me saying, what is this stuff in my database? So I had to offer a way to get it back out.
Nice. Well, unless anybody else has anything to say on that topic, I think it's case closed. I'd really like to see what's going to come out of this. I mean, like the one commenter said, you know, there's not going to be a whole lot done about this unless it becomes a guideline, unless it becomes something that is required. And I sort of agree with that, but it's nice to see people stepping up and taking it upon themselves to come up with a solution without the, devs stepping in. But it would be nice if the developers actually decided to take Andrew's tool and integrate it into the core.
Andrew,
well, the first step is to talk about it, and this has started some good chatter, so.
Andrew, do you have any more ideas for the future of this plugin, the uninstall plugin you have?
Nothing more going forwards. I mean, to be honest, the second version that I've just put up today was a reaction to all of the initial comments. People saying that it should provide hooks and it should work when deactivated and that kind of thing. So I guess if there's more comments on that, then I'll change it as necessary, really.
I definitely personally plan on trying to do something like that for the next version of my project.
Well, I think that pretty much closes the book on that topic for now. Does anybody got anything else they wanna bring up? Anything at all? Anything within the world of WordPress? Oh, you know what? Now they just thought of something. I don't know how many of you guys are interested in going, if you'll be able to go, but I wanted to put this out there for Charles Strickland. And I just want to make sure I get the dates right. Saturday, March 29th, 2008. And Sunday, March 30th, 2008. Charles Strickland will be holding WordCamp Dallas. It's going to be held in Frisco City Hall in Frisco, Texas, which is north of Dallas. So I'll put a link to that in the show notes. It's on upcoming. He's got a little thing on upcoming.yahoo.com. And I'm thinking about going to it. I don't know. I haven't made up my mind yet. I really would love to go to a conference because I've never been to one. And I know Mark Ghosh of WeblogToolsCollection.com, he's informed me that he's going to be talking there. I know Matt Mullenweg is supposed to be there. Charles Strickland's going to be there. Some of the WordPress developers are going to be there. I don't know if Laurel is going to be there or not, but I would not be surprised if she ended up showing up there. Ernie, you guys thinking about going to WordCamp Dallas or any other type of WordCamp type meetings in your area?
I mentioned I'm going to try to make this Nashville one at the end of the month. Dallas wouldn't be too bad either, I don't think.
And the one in Nashville, is Matt Mullenweg or is any of the big head honchos going to be there? Or is it just going to be more of a community thing?
More of a community thing. I didn't see anybody I recognize. But the Dallas one, I mean, just to meet Mark, that would be cool, even Matt.
And, yeah, I'm thinking about going to the one down in Dallas. I'm not sure if I'm going to go yet. But if you're going to go, you might want to get your reservations and your hotels, rooms, as soon as possible. They might be booked up already. But, you know, this is a good time. We're going to go around the board here. and we got plenty of time to do our WordPress tips of the week. And I got one here. I found a little article by Kyle Eastlick. I think that's how you pronounce his name. If not, I'm sorry, dude. He did a little bit of a how-to article called Blocking Your WordPress Categories and Archives from Google. And I've seen quite a few articles popping up nowadays about this duplicate content issue with Google and other search engines. And essentially what happens is Google has a secondary index. They call it the supplemental index. And most of the time the supplemental index is filled with duplicate content. And in WordPress, one of the biggest culprits of duplicate content is on your archive pages. So what Kyle has done, he's created a little bit of code where the robots, the Google search robots or other search engine spider robots, don't crawl the archive page. That way, if they don't crawl the archive page, well, then you're not crawling duplicate content because they've most likely already crawled your index page. So I thought that was pretty good. It's a quick, easy fix. It's just one line of code that you have to add to your robots.txt file, and I've got a link to that on the blog at www.jeffro2.0.com. And right after the show, I think I'm gonna implement this. This duplicate content is a no-no. Andrew, do you have a tip of the week? Maybe your tool can be a tip of the week.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea because I haven't really had time to do anything but that. So, yeah, go for that.
And let's see, what do we got here? Andrew's tool, I got it. We're doing the show live, and I'm browsing live. Yeah, Andrew Rickman has created a tool that adds an uninstallation option to the plugins page. I don't know if I have a link to that on my blog or not, but you can rest assured I'm going to link to it right after the show where you can download his plugin. He provides you with the README, all the installation instructions you need, and gives you a good understanding of what's going on. And he's already got a nice bit of commentary going on there. Brad, what's your tip of the week?
All right, I got a good tip this week that Ron did not give away. So if you're at work and you're surfing the internet, not doing work like most of us do, you come across a topic that you think is interesting and you might want to blog or write about it later. I had this problem. I come across multiple topics I thought were interesting I'd want to write about. I get home, I get ready to write, and I completely forgot what it was I looked at, and I can't find it. So what I did is found a to-do list plugin for WordPress. Quick install. The link will be in the show notes. And what it is simply that, a to-do list. Plugs right into WordPress, automatically fits on your dashboard toolbar, and it's just a simple way to plug little to-do items in. What I did is made it a bookmark, so anytime I hit anything that's interesting that I don't want to forget and I want to write about, I hit my to-do list, punch it in there, save it, and then later when I'm ready to write or when I have time, go back to my to-do list, look at what I have there, and I have, a few topics ready to go. So it's just a nice way to kind of organize and keep track of thoughts throughout the day, and then when you have time to blog, you go back to it and start writing. And again, Jeff will put that in the show notes, a link to that plugin.
That I will. Ronald, you're up.
Hey, my tip of the week has to do with separating track facts from comments. Daily Blog Tip posted a article this week about separating track facts from comments. It should be fairly obvious by now, but there's still a lot of people that don't have it enabled. So if you do not have track facts, separate from the comments. That's my tip. Please do it. And also, while you're at it, allow users to comment without having to register. And a bonus tip: if you are releasing a plugin or something that's going to be very popular that has a lot of track facts, it might benefit your readers to disable track facts for that particular item. That's my tip of the week.
All right.
Sounds good. Make sure you send the link
to me after the show.
After the show. I'll put that on the blog.
All right, we've got about 10 minutes left. What are we going to do to kill time?
I have my own suggestion for what Brad talked about as far as a blog topic to do this type thing.
Yeah.
I use Gmail and Google Reader, a combination of the two. And in Gmail, I set up a label, and I just call it, say, blog topics. And then I set up a role for that label. And every time I see a site that I like or come across or a blog post that I want to write about later, I just email it to myself with the topic, with the subject, blog topic, and then automatically gets sent to a filter or a folder, sorry, a folder. And I just reference that folder for later if I need something to write about. And Google Reader has a share feature, and I just send myself something if I see something interesting in Google Reader.
Well, hey, now that I got the chance, I might as well mention I didn't get a chance to blog very much this week because this system's been killing all my time. But Feed Demon's now free. And Feed Demon is one of the most popular RSS feed readers out there for Windows. And it's made by NewsGator. And it used to cost $24.99, but they've recently made a decision now. The latest version, 2.6, it's going to be free. So I actually paid for it. I think I got more than my money's worth out of it. But they've actually decided to make it free. And if you're not into Google Reader or you want to try something else or you're on Windows, you want to try a really powerful RSS feed reader. I mean, Feed Demon is the one to try. I think it's awesome.
Is that only for Windows?
Yeah, it's only available for Windows. Wait a minute. No, they've got a Mac version called NetNewsWire. Yeah, I didn't know that. I thought it was... Okay, so Feed Demon is for Windows, but the Mac version of Feed Demon is called NetNewsWire. And I think that's free as well.
That's cool.
But, yeah, if you you guys don't know what Feed Demon is or want to know more about it, I actually did an in-depth review of the program. All you got to do is search for Feed Demon on my blog, and the review should pop up. And I think I got John Colbert of SimplyBasic.com. I got him into it. I've got a couple of other people into it, too. They said it's just awesome. You know, and if you're not using Feed Demon, I'd say 99.9% of everybody else is using Google Reader. I swear everybody uses that thing.
And I say Google Reader is awesome, but I'll try out NetNewsWire.
You know, something else to add regarding the GM site running WordPress, I noticed that they are not running permalinks, which is interesting. And I never understood why a blog or a site in general would not turn permalinks on if they had the option. And I've seen a lot in some really large blogs that don't do it. And I mean, is there a reason that you guys know of why these blogs would not turn permalinks on?
Other than not knowing about it or not having the knowledge beforehand, I mean, that's something I've been meaning to tell John Colbert of SimplyBasic.com. He sends me a link, and it's in the link it's a bunch of numbers, and I really can't understand what he's linking me to on his site just based on the link, and I need to tell him to change his permalinks. And actually, I think it might be next week I'm going to write an article giving a permalink primer, the different options and different tags and variables found in permalinks. But other than that, I have no idea why anyone would not use permalinks.
Yeah,
I think
permalinks are pretty.
The only benefit I can see is maybe a shorter URL. Other than that, I can't think of anything.
I think looking at the code behind the GM site, they've got a view state hidden field on there. So I wonder if they're actually running IIS and .NET instead of Apache.
Yeah,
maybe
actually,
that's why.
Some of the links across the top I noticed were .NET as well, ASPX, so it could be.
I think I Now you bring that up, I was reading through the comments on Slashdot, and I'm pretty sure that's what they're using, IIS and .NET. Now that you brought that up, that reminded me.
So if you're not using permalinks, turn them on. Just go to Options, Permalinks, flip it on, that's it.
Yeah, I posted the variable that I use, and I just use the post name variable. So whatever I put in my post title, that ends up becoming the link. And I usually keep my post titles down to 5 or 7 keywords, or 5 to 7 words, so that it's not extraneously long, and I don't want to have a whole paragraph in my title, because then Google might think I'm keyword stuffing.
I actually came across a SEO-specific, and a rather large SEO-specific blog that was not using permalinks. I couldn't believe it.
Oh, and by the way, if you're using IIS, there is a way to use permalinks. I think you have to... I got it right here. Because I found this, if you don't have the option of using Apache mod rewrite.
Sappy rewrite. Really.
Yeah, if you don't have access to a .ht access file, you have to place the variables after index.php. And I guess that'll work with servers that don't use Apache mod rewrite. If you go into the permalink settings on WordPress and you type in index.php / and then all your variables with the appropriate /, that'll work.
And I did a review not too long ago of Graffiti, the kind of supposed .NET alternative to WordPress. And they were just kind of creating folders on the fly to pretend to be permalinks.
There's actually a rewrite called Sappy Rewrite for IIS that I use that works almost identical to mod rewrite. So the fact that they're not using that and they're actually creating folders is pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, well, I think we know the true story behind Graffiti. Actually, if you said you reviewed it, wouldn't you... Do you got a brief synopsis of what you think of it real quick? I mean, is it really the shebang? Can it really be considered competition?
To be honest, I mean, it's quite an early version, to be honest. But, I mean, what I came away with really was that, if you're already a C# developer and you wanted a something like WordPress, then, maybe in that case you'd turn to that rather than, teaching yourself PHP. You can't really compare a beta product to version 2. Whatever of WordPress, really. It's not there. It's not really comparable. But there's a lot of things about it which are good. And there are things we can learn from it. But I don't see anyone who's already using WordPress switching, to be honest.
Well, let's see. It's about 50 minutes into the show. We got about 2 minutes left, so I think it's time to say farewell. You can catch me, the host, Jeffro 2.0. You can check out everything I'm doing at jeffro2.0.com. That's Jeffro, the number 2, and then PT, and then 0.com. Andrew, where can people find out what you're doing? Where can they find you at?
I'm at wp-fun.co.uk.
Good deal. And that's the same URL where they can find the WordPress uninstall tool you've created, right?
That's right, yeah.
Okay. And Ronald, what's going on? Where can they find you at?
Well, you can find me at raproject.com or my personal site, ronalfy.com.
Okie dokie, and I noticed I was looking through my plugins, and I noticed there's an update for your comments plugin, 1.1.3. So after the show, I got to upgrade. Thanks, Ronald. As if I didn't have enough to do. All right. Brad, where can people find you at? What are you doing?
You check out my blog, strangework.com, and also take a peek at my latest startup, snapfoo.com. That's Snap, F-O-O, Foo, which is a Mo blog with a couple little nice Web 2.0 twists.
Yeah, I like your blog, man. I think it's pretty cool. And I'm really thinking about going to that bar camp, too. I don't know. I have to see what happens. With that being said, I want to conclude this second episode of WordPress Weekly, and I'd really like to apologize. I think I didn't do as well as I thought I did in this second episode. I could have prepared more, and I'm telling you, I think it's because 10 minutes before the show, I ran to Speedway to get something to drink, and it messed me up. But, you know, this is the second episode. It's practice, and practice makes perfect. And eventually, it won't sound like a train wreck, but I really, really want to thank Andrew for stopping by and being part of the show, Ronald, and Brad. You guys are all awesome. I want to really thank everybody that stopped by in the chat, Mike, omike.com, Chris24, Scott W., Fu Mandunian, iCorey19, Messi, Big Joe, Travis, Michael, Johnson, and we did have a couple of people tuned into the live stream today, so that was pretty interesting. As far as next week goes, there's been some scheduling conflicts at where I work, and I won't be able to do a show next Friday. So episode 3 probably won't happen until the week after next. So we're looking forward to about January 25th. That's when episode 3 of WordPress Weekly will take place. Hopefully those people at work will get their act together and give me my Friday off. Like I wrote my availability sheet. So look for episode 3 on January 25th. And everybody have a good weekend.
Yeah.